We're continuing the shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Mekach Omemkar, Halacha Aleph, Paragraph Hey. V'ze bechinas sheoimrim mi shepora midor hamabul u'midor hahaflogo hu yifra mimi she'enoi oimei bediburoi. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we're learning here, we'll be able to understand a very famous expression in the Gemara that's used, where the Gemara says that the Hashem who exacted punishment from the generation of the flood and the generation that tried to build a tower to heaven, the Tower of Babel, he should punish a person who does not stand by his word, a person who doesn't keep his word. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Midor hamabul v'dor haflogo daiko. Look at what the Gemara mentions here. The Hashem who punished these two, the generation of the flood and the generation of the people who built the Tower of Babel. V'ze oimrim kishohoyo hakinyan rak al yidei kesef. And this statement the Gemara makes regarding a situation where somebody wanted to sell something to somebody else, and the buyer gave money. He gave money, but he did not do any additional kinyan besides that, such as lifting up the object, moving the object towards him, or anything like that. And still, with the money alone, that does obligate both of them to keep their word, even though it wasn't a complete kinyan. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki pigam dor hamabul hu pigam habris. We know that the generation of the flood, their main sin was pigam habris. Kama shekosuv, as the pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Noach, ki hishchis kol bosor es darkoy al oretz, that all of the people, all flesh, disgraced their path on the ground. They wasted seed, rachmona litzlan, and committed other terrible sins in that area. V'ze pigam hadibur mishena b'di'eino yomid b'diburai k'ma shekosu b'maimranal. And Rav Nosson Zal says that's also tied in to a person whose words are defective. He's pigam in dibur, a person who doesn't keep his word. As Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 29 in Likutei Moran, which is the chapter that this halacha is based on, Shetikin hadibur hu al yidei bechinas klolius hagidin, shu bechinas tikin abris, kemoi shekosov shom. In that chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal compares the dibur, tikin hadibur, and tikin abris. We know that the mouth is called the bris hamoer. There's the bris hamoer and there's the bris haloshon. Those two, both are referred to as bris. And Rabbeinu Zal writes there that the way that a person could be zeicha to tikkun hadibur is when the person is able to correct all of his gidun, which is referred to as tikkun akloli, and also tikkun abris, in that shubchin as tikkun abris, kama shikosav shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, bebechinas kenesher yo'ir kinoi. Rabbeinu Zal bases the discussion in the beginning of that chapter on this pasuk. Kenesher yorikinoi. Nesher is a bird that flies very high. An eagle, possibly. There are opinions on that, whether Nesher is an eagle or not. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there, based on the Zohar HaKadosh, that Nesher represents Ruach, which is associated with Tikkun HaBris. The Iker Hapigam Beyoiser Hukishem Oirin Hamoichin Umamshichin Halavnunis Lemekoimoy Sacherim Chasveshon. Rav Nosson Zal says the worst type of Pigam Habris is when a person's mind is aroused, his thoughts are aroused, and that causes whiteness, that causes the seed to flow to the wrong place, to an illegal place, chas v'shalom, either to a non-Jew or to a woman that's not permissible, or wasting seed, chas v'shalom. Shezehu pigam godol ma'oid ma'oid rachmon al-tzlam. This is a very, very major sin. V'zeh hoyo pigam dor hamabul, And this was the sin of the generation of the flood, Shehim Shichu Halav Nunis Shel Hamoyach Lemekoimu Sacherim. The fact that they allowed this whiteness from the brain, we know that the seed originates in the brain, they allowed that whiteness that originates in the brain to flow to the wrong places. Kimoy Shekosov, as the Pasuk says there, which we quoted earlier, Ki Hishchis Kol Bosor Es Darkoi Al Horetz. They disgraced their seed, their path on the ground. Shehishchisu Darkom Voitziu Zera Levatola. They disgraced the bris and they wasted seed, Rachmon al Son, instead of having the seed go to the right place. Nimtza. Which means that they were drawing this whiteness that originates in the brain and they were drawing it to the wrong places. And for this reason, their sin was too great for Hashem to forgive. Because this sin is considered in the Torah one of the worst things a person could do. V'zeo gam kein b'chinas pegam doer hafloga. And this was also the sin of the generation of people that came after the flood, who decided to build a tower that would go all the way up to heaven so that they could do battle with Hashem, Kaviyachum. K'may Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says there about them, Hova Nilbeno Levenim, let us build bricks, let us make bricks. And the word Levenim is used, Levenim, which means again that whiteness that's coming from the brain. Shehoyu roitzim lahamshich bechinas lavnunis, bechinas begodim levonim el hasitrachra. These people who wanted to rebel against Hashem in such a serious way, they also wanted to draw this whiteness, which Rabbeinu Zal refers to over there in Likut Imran, he speaks about white garments. They wanted to draw this whiteness of the brain and the white garments to the sitrachra. Because this was their main intention, to draw the energy of holiness into the domain of the Sitra Achra, the other side. Just like in the case of Pegam HaBris, where a person is drawing seed and holiness to a place that it doesn't belong. And this is why the Pasuk says about the Doer HaFlogo, that originally the entire world spoke one language and they were all able to communicate. Upirish Rashi HaKodesh says, Beloshna Kodesh. That's the language that they spoke, the language which Hashem used to create the world. And then it goes on to say, Vayihi Benosom Mikedem, and it was when they traveled from a certain place, Vayimtsu Biko, Be'eretz Shinar, they found a valley in the land of Shinar, Hu Bovel. And that ended up being the country Bovel, which many say today is Iraq. U Bovel Hu Bechinas Loshin Targum. We know that Bovel is associated with the language of Aramaic, Targum. The Gemara that we have, the Talmud Bavli, is in Aramaic. Kishom hu loshin targum, because in Bovel that's where they spoke this language of targum. Veheim rotzu linoik ulahamshir pchinas loshin hakodesh lotoich hasitra achra ayidei loshin targum. And those people who built this tower of Bovel, they wanted to draw the holiness of loshin kodesh into the sitra achra via Targum. Kemuva b'maymar tefila l'chavakuk. As Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 19 in Likutei Moran, that you have holiness, and you have the other side, you have Tumah, and the bridge between them is the language of Targum. Targum is a bridge, it's like klipas noiga, which is good and bad, which can be used in a positive sense to elevate certain aspects of Tumah that can be integrated into the holiness, but it could also be used the opposite way, chas v'shom, to try to bring holiness to the sitra achra when it shouldn't be brought there. V'yalkein hoyo onshom shenizbalbalu halashoinois. Therefore, the punishment for those people was that Hashem confused their speech. He made them all, each one talking a different language. Kishom bolal Hashem sfas koloretz. That's where Hashem mixed up the languages of all the people on earth so that they could no longer communicate and plot against Hashem, chas v'shalom. Nimtza. So according to how we just defined the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlogo, Nimtza shepegam Dor HaFlogo hoyamamish pegam Dor HaMabul, that they were both on the same track, the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlogo, dahainu, bechinas hamshochas halavnunis ela sitrach rochas v'shalom. Their sin was all about trying to draw the whiteness into the Sitra Achra. Ki dibur hakoidesh hu gam kein al yedei lavnunes samoyach. Because holy speech, holy words, also originate from the whiteness of the brain. We know that there's a posuk mipiv das usvuna. From a person's mouth, you hear what's going on in his mind, his chokhma bina v'das. Ki tikkun hadibur v'tikkun habris hakol echad kanal. Because the correction of speech and the correction of the bris kodesh are all one. As Rabbeinu Zal mentions in a few places in Likutei Moran, and Rab Nosson Zal has numerous discussions on Likutei Halachos about that. V'chein Isa, and it's actually brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, she'dor ha'mabul v'dor ha'flogo hein b'china achas, that these two generations were actually one. And their sin was actually the same type of sin. V'alkein, and therefore, b'mitzrayim, in Egypt, shehoyu shom gilgulei neshamoy sanal, where those souls were reincarnated, k'may shekosu b'kisvi Arizal, as the Arizal says, that the souls of the Dor HaFlogo, they ended up going down to Mitzrayim to get their tikkun. V'alkein hutzruchu lavoy b'choymer uvelevenim, and that's why they were made to do hard labor using, again, bricks, levenim, just like the levenim that the Dor HaFlogo tried to prepare in order to build that tower to heaven. Their tikkun was this backbreaking labor in Egypt. V'alkein ikar hu avoido hoyo loseis toichen levenim, and that's why the hardest work, the main work, was to form these bricks. Ki paroi hoyoroitze gam kein lahamshich halavnunes ala sitra achro lemitzrayim chas v'shalom. Because paroi also was looking to achieve this, to draw the whiteness that comes from kedusha, to draw it into the tuma, into the sitra achro, into mitzrayim. V'alkein, and therefore, kishero tzmichas keren yeshua idei Moshe, when paroi saw the potential for the Jews being taken out of Egypt, being rescued, being saved, and all of his plans being destroyed, Gozar, through Moshe Rabbeinu, Gozar levli liten lahem shum tevin. That's when Paro issued the decree, do not give the Jews any straw, v'yaval piken yasu levenim. And despite that, they're going to have to make the bricks themselves. They're going to have to do construction work, and they're going to have to make the bricks. As it says there in Parsha Shemois, v'toichen levenim titenu, and you, the Jews, are going to have to form the bricks, shape the bricks themselves. Ki rotzo lehizgaber aleim sheyu mamshichen b'chinas levenim b'chinas lavnunis mehem biatzmon. Because what Paroi was looking to accomplish was, he wanted to put pressure on the Jews that they should have to provide the lavnun, the levenim, the bricks, the whiteness. They should bring the whiteness from the side of Kedusha, b'lishum siyua Mitzrayim, without any contribution or without any assistance from the Egyptians. Kedei lahamshech b'chinas levenim shel Yisrael bi'atzmon ela sitrach rachas v'shalom. Because what Paroi was looking to do was that to draw the whiteness, the levenim, the whiteness of the Jews themselves, to draw that into Mitzrayim, to draw it into the Sitra Achra. Aval kol zeh loy hoyeloy, however, all of his efforts did not help him. Ki adorah, because just the opposite. Al yedei avodosam shom, tiknu vehelu halavnunis elakdusha. As a result of the hard labor that the Jewish people did in Mitzrayim, they were zeichet to rectify and to elevate the whiteness and bring it into the Kedusha, bring it back into the Kedusha. V'zeo gam kein b'chinas pigam ha'meshana dibur shel ha'masu matin shekvar nikna b'kesef. And this is the same damage that's done by a person who doesn't keep his word in a business agreement where money already changed hands. Ki ha'kesef hu b'chinas ha'moyach v'ha'chiyus shel ha'masu matin. Because money is like the brains and the life source of all business. K'may shekosu, as the pasuk says in Koheles chapter 7, Betzel ha-chochma, betzel ha-kesef. So we see that kesef, money, is sometimes referred to as chochma. V'alkein kol hadvorim sheboilam koinim al-yidei kesef. And this is why all things in the world are acquired with money. Ki ha-kesef hu b'chinas ha-moyach v'ha-chiyus shel kol ha-dvorim. Because money is the brain and the life, the energy of all things. U'kimuv aleil mizeh, as we spoke about this earlier in this halacha. V'hu b'chinas lav-nunis. And money, which is called kesef. Kesef means money, and kesef also means silver. Money is also whiteness. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, the brain is white like silver, like kesef. And when a transaction is performed using money, it means that the whiteness is already flowing. That whiteness, that silvery whiteness. And therefore, kishemeshana dibura yachakach, if after money has changed hands, if one of the two participants in the transaction decides to change his, to go back on his word, nimtza shemevatel nesinas hakesef, so he's negating, he's nullifying the money that was given. Nimtza shenimshach halavnunis levatolo la sitra achrochas v'shom. So if the money is not accomplishing what it was supposed to accomplish, then the money is going to waste. The money's been wasted. So I paid so much money to acquire the car. Now you change your mind. You don't want to sell the car for that price. You want a different price. And you're not returning my money to me. Or you're going to give me back my money still. But you change the terms of the deal. That's when the whiteness has already started flowing. The cash flowed already. That's called drawing the whiteness into the Sitra Achra. V'zeu mamish pegam dor ha-mabel v'dor ha-floga kanal. And this was exactly what the sin of the dor ha-mabel and dor ha-floga was. V'al keino imrim. Therefore, the Gemara says that what the rabbis say about such a person is, mi shepora midor ha-mabel v'midor ha-floga, the Hashem who exacted punishment from the dor ha-mabel, dor ha-floga, Dor ha-mabel, dor ha-floga, daika, specifically those two, should punish the person who doesn't keep his word. Aval al kol zeh, ein ha-mekech kayin adayin legamri. However, despite all of this, the sale has not yet really been permanently established. Ki ikar kiyum kol hadvorin, because the main establishment of everything is Dahainu Sheyia Adovar Kayom Vla Yuchlu Hachisoinim Lizaches Boilavatloi, meaning that the transaction should be permanent and the Klipois should not be able to attach themselves to it and to knock it out. Hudaiko Kishenim Shach Adovar Veneslabesh Ba'asiya. That's only completed. When is the transaction really completed 100%? When the transaction is cloaked in action, asiya, b'maisa u b'uvde gemura, when there's a complete action that takes place, upon the item, upon the objects that's being transacted. Shezeo bechinas asiyas hamitzvos. This is also the concept of what's so important in this world, that we're told as important as learning is, it's very important for a person to do mitzvahs in this world. Action, giving money, walking to shul, all kinds of things that require asiya. Shetzorech la'asoysam be'uvda daika. We have to fulfill the Torah with action, uvda. V'chein lehepech, pegam hu'averois be'yoyser, hu'kisho'yser uvda chas v'shom. And so too, the opposite side of the coin, when we talk about sins, a sin isn't really a sin until there's action performed, an action, a physical action has taken place. And therefore, when a transaction is being performed just on word alone, by a verbal agreement, even though it's considered a major blemish, when a person goes back on his word, when a person says something and then he changes, he goes back on it, and the person is referred to as being lacking in trustworthiness. The deal is not closed just on words alone. There has to be a physical kinyan, physical movement. Because there was only speech. No physical action was performed on the car or on the jewelry, whatever it is that's being transacted. Vafilu im nosan kesef, even if the buyer already gave the seller money, im kol ze einoi nikra maisa, that's not called action as far as what we're referring to here. Me'achar she'akesef hu bebechinas moyach kanal, because we just mentioned a few lines earlier that the money in this case represents the brain. The kesef, the silver, corresponds to the whiteness of the brain. The money being given over represents a flow of whiteness from the brain, which again is not something tangible, physical. It's not maisa. It's something spiritual. Aval kishikvar nase maisa. Whereas, when an action has already been performed, the person moved the object towards them, or they lifted the object up, something like that. Kigoin hagbo, for example, lifting the object up, oy meshicho, or moving it, azai yefshel shano isoid klal. Then you can't change your mind. You cannot change the deal. Veze bechinas kinyan sudor, and this same law applies if the kinyan that was made is a kinyan sudor, using a garment, where both sides, they hold on to the corners of the garment, the buyer and seller, and thereby there's a transfer of ownership that takes place of whatever they want to buy and sell. Shehu koine tomid. This kinyan sudor works in all kinds of situations. Ki kishenim shach b'chinas tikana masumatn b'chinas tikana begodim. Because when business is being transacted and it's including, it's involving clothing, garments, like the sudor, shehu b'chinas hamshochas halavnunis el habegodim ulevushin mamish. Here we're talking about, in such a situation, which we're drawing the whiteness that comes from the brain and we're drawing it into the garments. As Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in the Kutimran Torah Choftes, Rabbeinu Zal says that when a Jew puts on white garments on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, or when a tzaddik puts on white garments on a holiday, that represents the fact that the whiteness from the brain has been drawn all the way down. The brain is chachmah, it's from the highest of the midos, has been drawn all the way down into the malchus, into the clothing, which is referred to as the kovoy, the malchus of the person. Azai hu kayom, then the deal, the transaction is permanently established, v'lo yizbatel kanal, and neither side has the ability to renege, to go back on it. Kizeu bechinas asiya kanal,
Because this is an example of asiya. Ki ikar tikkun hu asiya she'osin guf ulevush el chius hakedusha shelo yisachzu bo'y hachitzoinim. Rav Nosson Zal explains, the main tikkun in this world that we are in, the olam hu asiya, and the main tikkun of action, performing physical action in serving Hashem, is that we're generating a vessel, we're creating a vessel, a body, a garment for the spiritual holiness, so that the klipos should not be able to grab it. We're putting it in a case, we're putting it in a box. Kiheim nechozim biyoser bebechinas artiloim. Because the klipos, the sitrachra, are able to attach themselves most when there's nakedness, when there's no cover, when there's no casing. We know, for example, you have fruit, a peach or apple, something like that. If you peel it, if you take the cover, the peel off the peach, or you peel the apple, in a very short time it'll turn brown, it'll start rotting and spoiling. That peel on it is a protection. It's a protective layer. Rav Nosson Zal says here now, he's teaching us a rule in Kabbalah, in Chassidus, that in this physical world, when Hashem sends holiness down to this world, if the holiness isn't in a case, if it's not protected, it doesn't have a cover on it, the klipos can get to it very easily. Our asiya, our performing actions, asiya samitzvos, that generates the covering, the guf, the lavush for the kedusha, to make sure that the klipos cannot get at it as easily. And that's why Rav Nosson Zal says, they're able, where there's chas v'shalom a lack of tznius, when there's uncover, when there's a lack of proper covering, when there's nakedness, there the klipos can grab, can attach themselves easily. V'alkein, and for this reason, Odom Arishon, Koidem Achet, Ne'amar Vayushneim Arumim. Odom and Chava, before they committed the sin, it says they did not have any clothing. They didn't need clothing. There was no sin. There was no klipa sitra achra. Kios loyhoyo shlitois hachitzoinen. At that point, the klipois had no power at all. Vahiyucholon liyoseirumim. Therefore, Adam and Chava, who were these pillars of light, they were able to be without clothing. Avla achar kach. But after they ate from the Eitz Hadas, it says, Yodu kierumim heim. They realized their nakedness. What do you mean they realized? Because they saw that the klipos, the sitrachra, was coming to draw from them. Just like it says that when Adam separated from Chava for a period of 130 years, the shadim and the klipos and everything were attached themselves to him and drew energy from Adam Arishon. And that's why they were forced to sew together leaves, fig leaves, to cover themselves and to dress themselves, so that the klipos should not grab onto them and be able to draw from them. And therefore, kishenimshach tikun hamasu matan bebechinas levushin. When a business transaction reaches a stage of clothing, there's clothing, the kinyan sudar, we make a kinyan using a handkerchief or a gartel, an article of clothing, shehu bechinas asiya, ki asiya hu tachlis halavushin ki adua. That's associated with asiya, because asiya, the olam asiya, the lowest of the world, is referred to the ultimate in garments, coverings. The lower you get, the higher level you get, the more light and higher levels of light and still higher levels of light. The lower you go down, the more the light is covered in more and more coverings, more and more garments. Vazai yefshe l'shanay soin. And therefore, once the business transaction has reached a stage where there's clothing, a kinyan sudar has been used, at that point, there's no reversing the transaction at all. There's no going back on it. V'zeo b'chinas kinyan sudar. This is the concept of the kinyan sudar, which is one of the most popular kinyanim that's mentioned in the Gemara. Note, those that learn Likutei Halachos, that usually the halacha alephs that Rav Nosson Zal writes, very often they're a little bit less clear and less explained thoroughly than the later halachas. Rav Nosson Zal wrote these halachas. Halacha aleph was in the beginning of his writing career, in a sense, when he first met Rabbeinu Zal. As he went on, he made another pass on the Shulchan Aruch, and another pass, and another pass. The later halachas, you see, usually he has an incredible level of clarity explaining, you know, much easier to understand fully. With this, we conclude Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Mekoch HaMemkar. Now we go on to Halacha Beis. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ein HaMekach Nigmar Bedvorim Kim Aide Kinyan. Business is not a business deal or transaction is not considered completed with words alone. There must be a kinyan performed. Dehainu, which means meshicha, moving the item towards yourself, or pulling the item, or leading the item, oy mesiro, or giving over the reins, for example, of a horse, or giving over the keys, something like that, oy hagba, or lifting the thing up, v'chulu, etc. V'roiv hakinyonim heim bekinyan sudar. The Shulchan Aruch tells us the most popular kinyan is the kinyan of sudar, because it's the easiest, in a sense. Easiest, most accessible. V'chol zeh b'metaltalin. Everything we just said applies only to movable objects. Avla karka, whereas when it comes to acquiring land or property or buildings, nikneis b'kesef, it's acquired with cash, with money. Kimavur chiluki adinim b'shulchan aruch, as we find all the diverse laws regarding this in the Shulchan Aruch. We know that Avram Avinu acquired the Maariv HaMachpelah with cash. 400 shekel kesef over la socher, it says. Paragraph Aleph. Al pi hamaymar hamaschil mishechorav beis hamikdosh. This halacha will be based on chapter 25 on Likutei Moran, which begins with those words, Ayin Shom Heitev. Study that chapter well. That's one of the main chapters in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about Koyach HaMedame. V'aklal Hayotze Mishom, to summarize what Rabbeinu Zal says there, Ki Tzorich Kol Echod Lohitzi Es Atzmoy MeHaMedame V'la Lohisel HaSechel. Every Jew in this world has to strive to remove himself from medame and to move towards seichel. Seichel means real intellect, real intelligence. Medame looks like intelligence. It looks smart, but it's not. Medame is marketing, advertising. Medame is an ape. An ape, to some people, apes look very similar and behave very similar to them, to some humans or subhumans. This concept, the term medame means, it is referred to sometimes as the lowest part of seichel. Within seichel, within the different levels of seichel, medame is the lowest one. Animals possess medame in a sense. They can mimic certain things. They can ape. Ape means to copy what somebody else is doing in some ways. So Rabbeinu Zal says there that the tachlis of a person in this world is to get himself out of medame, because this world, since Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, the whole world, our existence became a big mix of Tov V'Ra. And the objective is to get yourself out of that mishmash and get yourself into real seichel. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say there, Veda shebechol darga vedarga yesham dimyoinoi seilu. That this is not just a one-time deal, a one-time battle, and you win the battle and now you're in seichel. Every single time that a person wants to advance and go to a new level, he has to engage the klipos on that new level, the koyach hamedame on that new level. He's got to do battle with it and try to eliminate it, eliminate the medame, and eliminate the klipa, the shell, and go for the fruit. Go for the real thing. You get a person who never tasted an orange. They never saw an orange, and somebody shows them this new fruit, and they bite into it. They bite into the peel, and they say, wow, it's a little bit tart, but it tastes good. You know, it tastes pretty good. It's an interesting taste. And the person says, idiot, that's not the orange. That's what you got to throw away. You got to peel the orange. Take that rind off. That rind gets thrown away, and the fruit, wow, I didn't know. That's a whole different thing. Even though we know that orange rind can be used as ingredients for baking different things. And again, the peel is a protection for the fruit, but it's not the fruit. And again, there are people who don't know. Person who doesn't know, he can start eating that and think it's, you eat it. What do? You eat it. He doesn't know you're supposed to peel it first. So Rabbi Nizal says there that on each and every new level that a person tries to get to, there are the demyonos on that level. Ukishe'odom nitak v'netak midarga darga. And when a person advances and they uproot themselves from one level and move up to the next level, azay mezgabrin haklipoy shebemadrega, then the forces of tumah, the klipois on the new level that he's trying to get to, they come out with sticks and stones saying, we're not going to let him in. We're not going to let him come here. And the person has to do battle against them. Ve'eino manichen oisei lichnois. They refuse to allow him to enter. Ve'tzorech lizgaber leshabrom ulachniyom. And the person has to gather his strength together now to battle them, to smash them, and to subdue them. Ve'ikar hachnosam shel elu aklipois shemizgabrim. Rabbi Nizal says over there in Likut Imran that the main way that a person weakens and subdues these klipos that try to fight a person every time he tries to climb to a new level, the way that you defeat them is al yedei gedulas haboyreis borshmoi, through the greatness of Hashem, by revealing the greatness of Hashem. When they see that, they run the other way. They know to get out of there real quick. V'hizgalus gedulas haboyris porach hu'al yedei gavnen iloin sheyesh bekesev ezohov. And one of the examples of revealing the greatness of Hashem is the colors that are found in gold and silver, the light that's found in money, that sparkle. Kishom meluboshim gavnen iloin, because the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that in gold and silver is hidden heavenly colors, heavenly lights. V'heinizgalin al yedei shenoisnin stoko lo'oni hogun. How does a person reveal the gedula saboire? By giving money to charity. When he takes gold and silver and gives it to stoko, that causes a light show. That causes a tremendous revelation of gedula saboire. When stucca is given to a person who really needs it, an oni hogun, a person who really qualifies for it, and by giving stucca, by giving 10% or 20% of a person's money to charity, that rectifies all of the person's money, all 100% of the person's money. And this removes the curtain and reveals the great heavenly light that's found in the money. And then the greatness of Hashem is revealed. And the klipos on that new level that this person is trying to get to, they are weakened, and now the person is able to go up there and remain there. Ki ikar hagavnin einon meirin elo biyad ha'isha Yisraeli. Rabbi Nizal tells us a very interesting thing there in the Likut Imran, that this spiritual light that's found in money, this sparkle, that only exists as long as the money is in Jewish hands. That's when it has these gavnin eloin. Avel etzel ha'akum, whereas when this money gets into a non-Jew's hands, heim nisalmen, this light goes into hiding. And it's for this reason that non-Jews crave Jewish money. They want Jewish money. They don't want money. They want Jewish money. They have other ways of making money. No, no, no. They want to rob Eretz Yisrael. They want to rob, take it away from the Jews. Because they see those gavnen Eloin. They see that heavenly light that's found in the money while the money is in the Jews' hands. But Rabbeinu Zal writes there, what they don't realize is, though, that the minute they take it away from the Jew and it goes into their hands, it loses its light. It loses that light. Ayin Shom Kol Zeh Heitev. Study chapter 25 on the Likutei Moharan well to get a good understanding of the things we touched on just now. Paragraph Beis, v'zeh b'chinas kol ha-kinyonim. This is the concept behind all the different ways that the Torah defines that a person can acquire something. She'ein ha-mekach nigmar b'dvorim bilvad kiyin b'kinyon. A transaction is not considered 100% official with words alone. There must be an actual kinyon, an action of kinyon. Kikvar mevor kama pomim shekol inyonim asumat mekoch memker hula halois hakedushois anefulois. Because we've already explained many times throughout Likutei Halachos that the whole concept of business, people doing business and buying and selling and everything, is all about elevating the holiness that has fallen from heaven, fallen into these objects, into buildings, jewelry, money, all of these things, to elevate that holiness. Ukishemalin elu hanitzoitzois vakdusha sanafulois al yidei amasumatan. And when a Jew succeeds in elevating the holiness that's found in these things by conducting business properly in a good kosher way, nimtzo shehimoilim midarga ledarga. So this holiness, it doesn't just go up once, it goes up from level to level. It's climbing up a ladder to get all the way back up to heaven. Vazai mizgabrin haklipoy shebemadrega. And then, as Rabbeinu Zal explained, any time a Jew or any time that holiness tries to go up to a new level, it encounters opposition. The Sitra Achra comes out to try to block it from attaining that new level. Ki bechol darga yesham dimyoino isu klipois. Because on each and every single step and on each and every level, there are these demyonois, these klipois, these forces of tuma that are there to try to block the person or the holiness from being able to get to that new level. V'alkein eina mekach nigmar bedvorim bilvad. And it's for this reason that a transaction is not completed with words alone. Ki ikar hisgabrusam hu besho shoyle midarga ledarga. Because the main battle of the Sitra Achra against the holiness is when the holiness is traveling, when it's trying to go from one level to the next level up. Ubishas gemar hamekach. And at the time of the completion of the transaction, kishayotze hadovar mirshu zel rishus chaveroi, when the object leaves one person's possession and it enters into the possession of the other person, azai hu bechinas habirur. That's when the refinement has to take place. Vazai nizbarer hakedusha sheyeshom v'oila midarga ledarga. And it's at that moment that the holiness that's found in this object becomes refined, and then it's able to rise up from one level to the next. Vazai heimizgabrim kanal. When the Sitra Achra sees this, the Sitra Achra starts fighting harder, you know, to try to win. Nimtza, we see therefore, shebeshor sheyoytze adovim mirushus l'rushus, shebechin es birur v'aliyah midarga ledarga, that at the moment when the object that's being transacted is exiting from one person's possession into the other person's possession, which is the time of birur and aliyah, that's when a refinement is taking place. That's when the thing is being bumped up to the next level. It's going on to the next stage in the assembly line. Oz heimizgabrin. That's when the Sitra Achra attacks. That's when they try to fight it. V'yalkein, and therefore, Kol zman shaloi nichnas hachefetz hanikne l'rishus chaveiroi, so long as the object that's being bought or acquired has not entered into the possession of the one who's buying it completely, ein hamekach nigmar bedvorim bilvad. The transaction is not considered consummated, not completed, with words alone. Because even though the buyer has agreed to sell this thing to the other person, still it's possible for the transaction to be cancelled, to be nullified through the by the Sitrachra's efforts to attack it. Because when does the Sitra Achra attack? When they see a measure of holiness trying to go from one level to the next level, that's when they attack. And therefore the Torah requires that a kinyan must be made, a special formula, a special action that shows acquisition. V'ikra kinyan humedoi raisa b'kesef. The most basic kinyan is the one that Torah shows us, where somebody acquires something with money. K'moshem Rabbi Senesal, as the Gemara says, K'moshekosu v'nosan ha-kesef v'komloi. He'll give the money and it will be established. The transaction will be established. Ki ikra kinyan hu al-yidei ha-kesef daiko. Because one of the main ways that a kinyan is established is through money. Kishom mizgalin hagavnan eloin. Because we said before, it's in money that those heavenly lights, those heavenly colors are revealed. Shein b'chinas gedulas haboireis baruch, which represents the greatness of Hashem. Shaydeze nichnoin haklipoy shebemadrega. And that's what has the ability to zap, to destroy, to weaken the klipois on that new level that we're trying to get to. And once we've weakened them, then we're able to climb up to the next level. Vazai nigmar hamekach. And that's when the transaction is completed. Shehu bechinas habirur valiya midarga ladarganal. And again, what is the essence of the transaction? It's the refinement of that object and elevating it, taking it from whatever level it's on and bumping it up to the next level. And this is why the Pasuk says, he'll give the money, and then the thing will become his. It'll become established in him. It doesn't say it'll be his. It says it'll stand up for him. It'll be established. It'll be elevated. Kum means to stand up. When someone's sitting down on the floor, he's on a low level, and he stands up, that's called kum. So again, we're talking about bumping something up from a lower level to a higher level. Daika loshin tekuma valiya kamashikosuv vayokom sede Ephraim. Vidosh Rabbi Senzal, as the Pasuk says, that after Avram Avinu succeeded in buying the Moras HaMapelah from Ephraim, it says that the field of Ephraim stood up. Rabbi Nosson Zal says, ki al yidei kesef daika. Because it's specifically through money, which has these heavenly lights in it, that helps complete the transaction, which is a refinement, which is also the concept of an upstandingness and climbing from level to level. So that's the impression that we get from the Chumash. We're starting paragraph Gimel now. In the Chumash, we see that Avram, a person gives money, and he acquires, period. Ach Rabbi Seinu Zal Tiknu She'ena Kesef Koina. However, our rabbis in the Gemara, they established a new precedent that money alone does not complete the transaction. Ki be'emes, because in truth, even though money in its origin, from where it originates from, is on a very high spiritual level. V'yesh boy hislapshus gavnan Eloim, and the heavenly lights are cloaked in money. Afal pikein lemato ein mizgalin hagavnin sheyesh bekesev ezov. Down here on earth, these heavenly lights that are found in money do not show themselves. Kim al yidei shemisaknin amamoyim. Unless the person affects some kind of a tikkun on the money. Dahainu, one example of it is, by giving a percentage of the person's money as charity to a person who really deserves it, who really needs it. Because it's known that everything became damaged from the time of the sin of Adam Rishon, eating from the Eitz Hadas. And therefore, it's impossible for the light that's found in money to be revealed, to broadcast, to show itself, unless you perform a tikkun on the money. One example of a tikkun, you have to repair the money, you have to do something to kosher it. How do you kosher it? By giving tzedakah, giving maaser. Avol beloy hatikun, ein hagavnen mizgalin, afilu biyad ish yisraeli. But until that tikkun is accomplished, that heavenly light that's found in the money is not revealed, even while the money is in Jewish hands. And it's for this reason that our rabbis made a rule that money alone does not acquire something for you. Because we do not have the ability to eliminate, to weaken, to destroy the klipos on a particular level with money alone. Because those that heavenly light that's found in money does not show itself all the time, on rare occasions. And when those heavenly colors and lights are not revealed, the klipos on the level are not defeated. And therefore, the transaction is not considered completed. Rav Nosson Zal says, I'll show you how this concept that I just explained, this Kabbalistic concept, this concept of Chassidus that Rav Nosson Zal explained, I'll show you how it's in the words of the Gemara, how it's hinted to in the words of the rabbis. The Gemara says, Shamru, they said, Midoiraisa Kesef Koine. Based on what's written in the Chumash, clearly money alone is enough to acquire something. However, why did the rabbis insist that it does not become completely yours and you are not liable for it and responsible for it until you actually make a meshicha, until you move it towards yourself? While the merchandise is still sitting in the seller's possession on his shelf, let's say I'm buying a camera, a $3,000 camera, and I give him the $3,000 cash, and he takes the cash, and he rings up the transaction, but the camera is still sitting on his shelf, and suddenly somebody walks by, and the strap is hanging down, and somebody walks by and pulls the strap, the camera goes crashing down on the floor and breaks. Whose damage is it? The seller says, it's not my camera anymore, I sold it to you, you gave me the money, I took the money, it's yours, your camera boat. The buyer says, what do you mean? It's on your shelf. The rabbi said, why did the rabbis say only Mashiach is koine? Gzeira, because they were concerned. Shema yoimer loy, maybe the seller will tell the buyer, sorry buddy, I know you bought this ton of wheat for me that was in my warehouse, but a fire broke out and it was all destroyed. Your wheat got burned in the fire. Shema yoimer loy, nisrafu chitecho bo'aliyah. Your wheat got burned, got destroyed in my attic. So the rabbis wanted to make sure that until the buyer makes meshicha, it's still the seller's to a degree, and he is liable and responsible. If there's a fire, he better make sure he does whatever he can to protect that wheat, because otherwise he's going to have to return all of that money. So now Rav Nosson Zalman asks, V'lechayra tamua, there seems to be a question on this statement in the Gemara. Lama tafsu Rabbi Seinu Zal Aliyah Dafka? Why did the rabbi say that he's going to say, your wheat got destroyed in my attic, Ba'aliyah? Aliyah means in my attic. Everybody keeps wheat in their attic? You keep wheat in a warehouse, in a storehouse. Why does the Gemara say Ba'aliyah? Hayolam loymar stam, nisrvu chitecho bereshusi. The seller, the wording in the Gemara should have simply been that the seller says, your wheat got destroyed while it was in my domain. Oi, babayis, or in my house, or chotzer, in my courtyard. V'loma tafsu aliyah dafka. Why did the Gemara use that word aliyah? Your wheat got destroyed, ba'aliyah. Ach yesh l'rameis hanal. However, this hints to what we explained earlier. Ki machma she'ein banu koyach legalois tomid hagavna nilon she'esh bakesav kanal. We learned earlier that every time that you want to elevate something from one level to the next level, the Sitra Achra comes out to fight you, to battle you. One of the ways that you can defeat them is by shining a spotlight in their eyes. You shine a bright light in their eyes, you blind them, they go running away. What's the spotlight? Money. Money has gavnen iloin in it, kesev zoy gavnen iloin, which if you shine it at them, if you show it to them, you can. But Rav Nosson Zal explained, that's only Jewish money, and after the Eitz Hadas, that's only if you've koshered the money, if you've given stock on that money already. There's all kinds of conditions on that. So that unfortunately, the money alone, in many cases today, is not powerful enough to get rid of the klipos and the sitra achra that are coming to do battle, to fight a major battle, when they see that you're trying to elevate something from one level to the next. How are you elevating it? By doing a transaction. When this item is being sold by A and acquired by B, we said before that's usually an aliyah. The thing is taking a step up now, it's going up to a new level where whatever tikkun was able to be performed by the seller, he did it already. That's why he feels he can let go of this. He can give it to the other person. And now that person's going to work on putting the next brick, building the next floor and the next floor, elevating this thing to the next level. So therefore, because we don't necessarily have the power at all times to reveal that heavenly light that's found in money, therefore the forces of Tuma have the power to attack and to do damage and harm when you, at the time that you're trying to elevate this merchandise from one level to the next by transferring it from seller to buyer. This is the word aliyah in Hebrew means two things. It means an attic, and aliyah means in the process of going up, making aliyah. The person, the seller, is going to say, sorry, buddy, your wheat got destroyed when it was being elevated, in the process of trying to elevate it. At the time that this merchandise was being elevated from one level to the next, azay nizoik venisraf, then the merchandise was damaged or destroyed, al yidei izgabru sanal, by the attack by the sitra achra. Shem izgabrim bishas aliyah. As we learned earlier, when do they attack? When a person's about to go up to another level, or when holiness is being elevated to a new level. She'oyla midarga ladarga, that when something is being elevated from one level to the next, shemehem boim kol hahezekos. It's from these klipos, from these forces of the sitra achra, that all types of damage take place, rachmanatzlan, all kinds of hezekos. Nothing is coincident. We're learning now about fire, damage by fire. Eretz Yisrael and many other places are experiencing an incredible heat wave now. And yesterday there were fires that broke out outside of Yerushalayim, other. The schus of learning about this, the Torah that we're learning, the Torah is called Eish, and we're learning specifically about damage by fire. this should protect all of Am Yisrael from being harmed, any Jews or any of our possessions being harmed by any fire. Hold it over here.